بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فوالله لئن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعام، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Alhamdulillah, all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seated here with a concern for deen. As an example, the farmer is on top of the mountain. Up on the mountain is nice and cold. And the quality of a snake, when it's cold, then that snake becomes dormant, inactive, almost dead. So this farmer up on that mountain, he comes across a huge snake. So in his innocence of the mind, he feels that this is the dead snake. So he picks it up, he puts it around his shoulders, and he walks down the mountain, and he comes to the first village, and he calls out to the people, come and see what I caught. So all of them come rushing. And then he places the snake down. Everyone is impressed and they throw out money for him and he fills his pockets nicely. And then he picks up that snake and he walks further down the mountain. He comes to the second village and he makes the announcement again, come and see what I caught. So everyone comes through and then he places the snake down and they pour out money for him and he fills his pockets nicely again and he walks further down the mountain. And in this way, from village to village, not realizing that as he's coming further down, he's getting warmer as well. And that snake is getting some life within again. By the time the farmer comes to the seventh village, and then he announces to the people to come and see what he's caught, and they all gather, and then he places the snake down. Before the farmer can say anything, that snake stands up. Leave the rest. The farmer is the first one to run for his life. Now that's a snake. In cold weather, it's like almost dead. But a bit of heat, and now that snake is on the attack. That's our nafs. That's our desire. Right now, mashallah, we're sitting in the masjid. It's a beautiful, pious environment. And then sometime in a good environment, that desire almost feels dead. A man feels that I don't really have a desire. And then a bit of temptation, a bit of a test in a different environment. And then that desire comes alive on the attack. That is why the golden rule is we never trust our nafs. We can never trust our nafs, our desire for a moment. One youngster, he came out of drugs. 50 years he was clean. Now in the drug world, to be clean 50 years after being an addict is an achievement. So they interviewed him. How does it feel? So he gave a very sad reply. He says that, I still have a crave for just one more. Now 50 years clean. But that's nafs and desire. When he tastes something, Allah protect, it's a lifelong haunt if the person does not stand on his guard. He does not, you know, be extra, you know, turning to Allah. Another youngster, he mentions that he's managed to train himself to this degree that if there's a pretty woman coming in his direction, he can lower his gaze. Now, for a youngster to drop the gaze in front of beauty is achievement. But that same youngster, in the same line, he says, but if I'm walking, and maybe there's a car passing, and playing is some loud music, and it's something which I have to listen to in the past, it grips me and pulls me in that direction. Understand music. Allah protect us. Today music has become one of the easiest tools to control us and to reprogram us. The music of today at times, Allah protect, it takes a person on a high, pleasure, ecstasy. At times it takes a person wild, violence, rage. Now when that happens, the emotion button has been touched. The heart has been opened. Now whatever words come after that, those messages and beliefs are fixed, planted, embedded in that heart. And most of the time it is satanic. Ask that youngster who's moving in music. After a period of time, Allah protect, when it's flowing in his blood system, when he's soaked in his veins, he comes to a point now, he is not prepared to listen to anyone or to anything that comes in the way of his sin and his fun. And as he's moving in that direction, Allah protect, a time comes, he distances himself from everything linked to deen, the masjid, the pious. And that's a very dangerous life. That is why the simple message is, we get music out of the life before music takes us out of the fold of Islam. It's no more, you know, entertainment, fun. Today it's a, we speak of iman or kufr, belief or disbelief. And every singer is a Satanist today, physically worshipping shaitan, the devil. Allah protect us all. So when desire tastes something, now the person is addicted. That is why we don't ever experiment when it comes to sin. Many a person says, no, Maulana, we just do the light things, nothing too heavy. Not realizing, the moment we experiment, you know, the person was moving so well in life. His salah, his Quran, his dhikrullah, his dua. It just took him one weekend. He went somewhere he's not supposed to go. He saw something he's not supposed to see. He took something which he never supposed to take. One weekend. Now one youngster, he told me, he says, Maulana, everyone knew me in my area, Natal. So I had to go very far away. So he went to Cape Town. Tells me, Maulana, all he took me was one sip. I thought it was light. Just one sip. And he said, before I knew it, I was addicted. And then I thought to myself, no, just once a year, Cape Town. Then he tells me, addiction is such. From within there's a crave. And that 1 year is taking too long to come. And then he's looking for a closer venue. And before he knows it, you know, from once a year to every few months, and then every week to every night. Addiction, we never experiment. The man was moving well. He went on business trip to China. Foreign land. He thought no one knew him there. So the moment is a person is in a foreign land, now there's extra freedom from within. That nafs and desire takes maximum out of the man. And then he tasted something, or he did something, or he saw something, or he went somewhere. And then the man is addicted. And he's addicted. That is why, you know, when you speak of driveway, and there's one small plant growing in the center. That plant is small, and the plant is weak. And the man is young, and he's strong, but he left it, thinking it's just a small plant. And it's growing, growing stronger, more deep-rooted. And he's also growing older, weaker. As an old man now, he can't just pick up the tree and throw it away. The man tried something. He tried somewhere. He tried his sight, thinking, you know, just by mistake I went on that sight. Not realizing he tasted something. The nerves, the desire got some enjoyment somewhere we're not supposed to. And then the man continues. taking it lightly, not realizing is becoming deeply embedded in his heart. And then as he's aging, you have to understand, as the man is aging, his firmness against his desire tends to weaken. The man is stronger today than tomorrow. It's easier to give up now than tomorrow. My willpower and my strength within against my desire is stronger now than tomorrow. So the man is thinking of coming right. What's the prescription? Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullahi gives one original prescription. Because original man now is feeling, now wait a minute, how long more? Maybe I'm getting away. In the public eye, it seems I'm so good. But in those lonely hours, I know what I am. And my life is passing. And I'm getting deeper into it. I came out for a while and I fell deeper after a while. So the original prescription Mullah Tanvir Rahmatullahi gives to any spiritual illness: I've got a problem with my eyes, I've got a problem with my desire within. So Mulana's prescription in one word is called determination. A day comes in a man's life, he says, look here, I saw enough, I went enough, I did enough, and I took enough. Enough is enough. See, the talks can continue. But if from within there's no determination, that the man does not pick up his willpower and says, enough is enough, then those talks will continue from outside. But if there's no determination from within, then the man continues in his life of the old. So the determination, you know, when you speak of, you know, parada, then sometimes out of the home, then the man lowers his gaze. His women folk are covered out of the home. But sometimes within the home, there's family, friends, you know, the sister-in-law is in front of me, the female cousins. Then we start relaxing the laws of parada. And then what happens day after? Allah protect us. You know, one educated person, he asked the alim, that why are you making it so difficult that I must make parada from my wife's nieces? We all know the ruling, the wife's nieces, she is the, that wife of ours, she is the maternal, paternal aunt. But those nieces of hers, I as the husband, I have to make parada from them. That separation. Nevertheless, the alim knew that this educated person won't understand Quran and Hadith proofs. So in his own language, the alim asked the educated person, with honesty of heart, tell me, when that young niece of yours comes running to you, and then you give her a hug, what happens to you? So that man now, he dropped his head in shame, and he had to admit, he was taking full lust and enjoyment. Now that young niece, when she was 2 and 3, she was running to the uncle. Now she's 9 and 11, and those feminine features are now taking shape. And the clothing is so tight-fitting at times, and it's so appealing at times. Now that uncle, he's caught in a situation, but he's feeling too embarrassed to admit. Then what will the family see? As an uncle taking desire from a niece. And then at times in the grandfather's home, it's a happy occasion, whole family gets together. But as a grandfather, he needs to realize that those grandsons and granddaughters of mine, to themselves they are male and female cousins. And a time comes when that separation is required. An average youngster of today with that cell phone knows more about the bedroom than what a young couple of yesterday knew at the time of marriage. And when they are seeing so much, that energy within is all heated. And do we know when all this surfaces? Tomorrow when that girl gets married, and now she is showing reservation when it comes to bed relations. And then the husband, when he can't take it anymore in terms of the patience. He confronts her. And then she has to cry out and say that, when I was young, my uncle or my male cousin abused me. It's too late to cry then. That's why Mufti Mahmud Gangoi Rahmatul Alayhi, he gives three beautiful guidelines. When it comes to the aspect of parada, and the easy way to remember it is the word ace. A-C-E. A for alone. That strange male and strange female can never be alone. I can never trust myself alone with a strange female. I'm in the shop. I got an office. I can never be alone with the secretary in that office. Never. Never. I can never trust myself for a moment. I'm in a building with a lift. And then I got into the lift first. And just before the doors could close, one woman walked in. As a man, I need to walk out. Those few moments I can't allow myself alone in the lift with a strange woman. So alone. C for casual. As a man, I can never be casual with those strange females out there. Those smiles and that humor, that mashallah, leave it for the wife at home. Not for the strange females out there. And then E is the most sensitive. The eyes. When the man's eyes meets the strange female's eyes, in that split moment, such electric feelings are exchanged, pen can't write it down, tongue can't express it, but it happened. I'm in the shop, the workplace. Now that customer came, I will serve her, but I can't allow my eyes to meet her eyes. That's when everything happens. So this desire, there's something called guilt. And guilt is a gift from Allah. As long as I'm feeling guilty, there's hope for me. I need to look after that gift of guilt. If I don't look after it and I continue with my life, Allah protect, after some time, I don't feel guilty anymore. The first time I saw something, the first time I took it, the first time I went there, the first time I got into it, I was really feeling guilty. That gift, I did not look after it. And with time, Allah protect, when that guilt is snatched, now the man becomes bold. So bold, on the social media he'll advertise his sins, feeling nothing about it. Absolutely nothing. In public eye, he'll do the worst. That guilt has been snatched. That's why we're moving on this journey now. This journey to Allah. So we can never trust this desire. And as we're moving, there are the tides. You get the high tides, you get the low tides. When you speak of the high tide, at times in our life, we are feeling quite strong in terms of, mashallah, we're enjoying the salah, enjoying the Quran tilawat and recitation. And there's no real desire within. The desire feels maybe almost zero. That's a high tide. And then definitely, a person can be as much pious as he may reach, but definitely will have the low tides at times. That now, there's no real enjoyment in that salah, in that ibadat, in that worship of Allah. And from within, there's an urge, sometime for such a sin, which I never desired in the past. And when this happens, we have to be extra cautious. At times, when this happens, shaitan whispers in us. That you see, for 1 month you were clean, trying to change your life. You see, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your time trying. You are getting such urges now, which you never had when you were a sinful person. Understand, this is a temporary phase, a test. We need to be turning more to Allah. That, oh Allah, we need you, O Allah. O Allah, give us that firmness. Give us that strength. And definitely they're turning to Allah. But istighfar, seeking forgiveness, that repentance. Because this life will have those tides. But the beauty of a believer, he continues trying. And he continues moving. Because if you look at a tree, and the man with the axe, he is hitting at the tree. And he went 1, 2, 3, and then when he hit number 10, The tree fell down. It took 10 strikes to drop the tree down. But if the man was impatient and he stopped at 9, feeling he's wasting his time, then the tree would not have fallen. It needed one more strike, one more strike. In the same way, I tried giving it up once and then I fell into it. And I tried the second time and I fell harder. The thing is, we have to carry on trying. We don't know at which strike, at which try. Allah opens up this heart. And that's the power of repeating repentance. Because an average person will say, but Molana, you don't understand me, Molana. I was so clean for 3 months, Molana. And when I went back into it, Molana, I made qaza for those 3 months, I missed and I went worse. And then I came right for half a year. And Molana, after that, don't speak what happened to me. Now the thing is, the power of repeating repentance. You have to understand, after falling, the beauty of a believer, he stands up again, and he repeats that repentance, and when a person keeps on repeating the repentance, and the repeating of repentance, you know, repentance is 3 simple points. Stop. Regret. Never again. I stop the wrong. I regret over the wrong I've done. I make a firm intention, never again, O Allah. The moment I stopped, I regretted, and a firm intention, never again, it's like I press the delete button, repentance, erase the past, move on in the future. I just repented and I fell again. Immediately repeat the repentance. The beauty of repeating the repentance, the power of repeating repentance is, a time will come with the help of Allah. Something which was doing every night, after some time of repeating the repentance, now it becomes a weekly affair. And I continue trying and repeating the repentance, then it becomes once in 3 months affair. And then once a year. And I continue trying, and then the mercy of Allah, Allah opens that heart. Now the hatred of that sin is placed in that heart, and inshallah that person won't repeat that sin again with the command and the help of Allah. But the thing is, we have to continue trying and continue moving and completely place ourselves in front of Allah. See, for a person speaks of courage. Molana, but I feel down, Molana. So in one simple line, for courage, encourage. For courage, encourage. Last almost 20 minutes, I'm trying to encourage. More than you getting any courage, I as a speaker, the command of Allah, full of courage. The one who encourages is blessed with the power of courage. The more I encourage, the more courage I feel within. So it's time, Allah Ta'ala accept us all. Whatever little we are doing, but we take that step further. Encourage others. Bring others to the masjid. Because if you look at a few weeks back when was the xenophobia, in few parts of the country, there was that looting, killing, etc. And while that was happening, the feeling was this country is sinking. Imagine few days, few parts of the country, no law and order. And the feeling was, country is sinking. Now that's the country, and that's physical. Let's for a moment look within ourselves, spiritual as an individual. If the country had no law and order for a few days, and it felt like it was sinking, I as an individual, 30 years, 60 years at times, no law of Allah in the order of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much am I sinking and sunk and continue to sink? You see, when the rocks are thrown up, roses can't come down. The actions we send up, those are the conditions that come down. Changing the country is not within my control. Changing myself, that's within my control. That effort to change myself. I ask myself, I look into the mirror, do I see the beauty of my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or do I see something else? When I walk out of the masjid, When someone sees me, do they see Muslim or one of the rest? Reality, our homes, our businesses, every aspect of our life, we have to have deen living. You know, one is to love Islam, then we look Islam, we live Islam. It's love. What I love, I love. What do I love? What do I love? Because I'm going to die just now. And I love to go to my Allah in a condition that Allah is waiting to receive me. And we'll end up with this picture to leave in the mind. A first-time mother, for the first time, she gave birth to a child. For the first time, she hugs her firstborn. The warmth and love with which this first-time mother embraces her firstborn, it's not possible to capture that scene in words. If you understood that, now understand this. That person who was far away from Allah, far away from Masjid and Salah, far away from Quran and Dhikrullah. And that person after years now, he comes returning to Allah. The love, the forgiveness, the kindness, the compassion with which Allah receives this sinful servant. It's impossible to capture that sight in words. Understand, our Allah is waiting for us. The delay is from our side. The starting point is our 5 salah in the masjid, daily some Quran, our identity. Allah Ta'ala give us a correct understanding, ability to practice, pass on to others. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب